2022 bold predictions. Davis Mills in Las Vegas? What does that even mean? We'll tell you in just a second what that means, because we're going to break down 10 bold predictions for not only fantasy football, but for the NFL season. Before we do, we want to make sure you follow us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. We are dropping daily content all season long. And plus, starting next Sunday, right? Next Sunday already is here, folks. We're doing a Sunday Live Start Sit Show every single morning starting at 7 a.m. live on the Fantasy Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. So make sure you hit that subscribe button and join us to get your start sit questions answered every single morning all season long. Also, make sure you go to razzball.com. We have great articles dropping every single day, and we have great tools to help you win your fantasy. If you haven't drafted yet, you still have a couple more drafts, go check out the ADP price tool. Go check out the other great articles we have there as well. We have a bunch of great content to help you win your fantasy league. All right, let's start the show. I am joined once again by my colleague, Sky Gawasco. You can follow him on Twitter at Sky Gawasco. What's going on, man?
Bob, less than 120 hours from right now when you and I are recording, we'll be watching football that actually matters on Thursday night. Cannot wait, my man. I'm ready to go.
Now, Sky, we are doing bold predictions today. Let me ask you a question. When you're doing bold predictions, do you honestly feel these are actually, like, I guess my question is, when you're doing these bold predictions, are you like, there's a 5% chance that can happen, 20% chance that can happen? How confident are you in these bold predictions?
I love that question. So you and I on our previous show, Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast, RIP, you and I used to do bold predictions and crazy calls, right? I made it crazy calls because it was a little extra ridiculous from bold predictions. A lot of people in the industry make bold predictions, very unlikely predictions, right? I try to make them somewhat realistic, right? Now, what I always say when I preface these are, if any of these come true, things kind of flipped upside down. But you got to think of it like so many things happen that weren't bold predictions because nobody thought they were possible, but they happen every single year, right? Like Amon-Ra St. Brown, who wasn't even drafted last year, being a league winner down the stretch, right? That was would have been a great bold prediction preseason, but nobody thought that was a possibility, clearly. So for me, yes, bold predictions are, you asked me to put a number on it, 25% realistic, right? Like I'm not trying to go so insane, but it's unlikely, but it's realistic. Crazy calls, if we went an extra step, are a little more ridiculous. Right? It's something like, I don't know, Jared Goff being like top three quarterback or something. Very unlikely. Now, if the Lions go nuts and everything works out, could he be top 12? Probably unlikely also, but that's more of a bold prediction.
Yeah, I'm the worst at this stuff. I actually can't. Too realistic, I know. I honestly, I'm one of those people that like, I want to know if it actually can happen. I know you are. And that's stupid. Like, you're supposed
to
be
fun
bold.
About these, though. It's you not, and I go so intense like, on statistics all year. This is the fun one where like, we're not trying to just do hyperbole completely, but these are the fun ones. We're like, you know what? What if? And then we have some fun.
I think these are like the italicies predictions, like not bold, but like they're still a little fancy font. They go, I like that.
Yeah.
Let's get into the first one. It's Davis Mills, and this is yours. Davis Mills, man. It's the Pro Bowl. What's going on with Davis? How big of a season do you think this kid's going
to
have?
I've been so hyped on this. This is great. Now, I want to give a shout-out to my friend Ryan Leaf. He used to do the RDL show with Ryan Leaf. Yes, folks, the Ryan Leaf, former NFL quarterback, Heisman Trophy finalist. He was the only person all year last year, fantasy or real-life football, that gave Davis Mills a chance coming out of Stanford. Right? Ryan covers the Pac-12. Knows Davis Mills well out of Stanford and what have you. He talked him up big time during our show pre-draft, and he was the only person in the entire industry either side that was big up in Davis Mills. I watched a lot of Pac-12 as an Oregon guy, so I was like, okay, let me like pay more attention to this kid. I like him a lot. Texans are a train wreck, obviously. Last year was an absolute joke. They phoned it in. But down the stretch, he played very well. Now, my bold prediction is a bit more NFL, but there's fantasy nuggets in here. So Davis Mills makes the Pro Bowl is my bold prediction. He does not have an ADP on the Razzball ADP chart, Bob. I'm offended. People aren't even drafting him enough to give him an ADP. Ridiculous. All right, well, couple notes here. Mac Jones made the Pro Bowl last year. Not incredible for fantasy football, but he made the Pro Bowl. in NFL. He had 22 touchdowns, 13 receptions, 67% completion percentage, only 3,800 passing yards. Patriots are 10-7. Over the last 5 weeks of the season, Davis Mills threw 9 touchdowns and just 2 interceptions. That would have been good for about 30 touchdowns, 7 picks over a 70-game pace. He also had a 67% completion percentage. He basically had only Brandon Cooks last year. Now, he has another year of Brandon Cooks with a full summer as the starter. He has Nico Collins, who I like a lot, is a second-year guy coming up in wide receiver. And Brevin Jordan, who nobody talks about yet, but he was a very high prospect behind Kyle Pitts last year coming out of Miami. Houston also adds Damian Pierce to keep the defense honest. So another thing is Mac Jones made the Pro Bowl because a bunch of those high-profile AFC quarterbacks just didn't even play. They were like, this is a joke. I don't want to risk my injury. I'll fly over there, but I'm not going to play. So Allen, Herbert, Mahomes, Jackson, Burrow, Russell Wilson at this point, they could be playing for a Super Bowl spot on the AFC side, so they might not even play in the Pro Bowl period. Mac Jones got in after a lot of those guys left. Davis Mills could back in as well. Derek Carr, Matt Ryan, maybe Trevor Lawrence with a bounce back could have a shot too. But I'm going to take a shot on Davis Mills, man. I like this kid a lot. Better weapons are going to be behind. He's going to be throwing constantly. Bold prediction, Davis Mills makes the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem I have with Davis Mills is there's a lot of unproven talent behind Brandon Cooks. It's Brandon Cooks. Damian Pierce, we're excited about him, but we don't really know how it's going to translate. Rex Burkhead, it seems to be the passing down back. Nico Collins, bunch of talent. We're excited. Brevin Jordan at tight end. What does that mean? You know, they lost John Metchie, the slot receiver, this offseason, so that could be a hit. But at the same time, this kid showed that he could play well, and if he could just lead them to a solid, like you said, easily an alternative to make that Pro Bowl. I'm going to jump down to my bold prediction. Justin Fields finishes as a top 12 QB for fantasy football. Now, this is right now today, he's not really consensus top 20 on most sites. But the thing with Fields is that we kind of saw it already last year. Now, when I was looking at Fields and trying to get through all this stuff, he was fifth in rushing yards among quarterbacks last year, and he only played 12 games. Now, the other crazy part about that is his rushing yards per game in his starts skyrockets to well over into the 70-yard range. Now, my thing is when I'm looking at that, I'm like, okay, this guy is easily one of the very few quarterbacks that potentially can get you, I don't want to say 1,000 yards, that's aggressive. But he does have the ability with the bad offensive line, weak skill position group to just run. So that gets me a little bit excited there as well. But the other thing I wanted to talk about too was when you start looking at his first four games, he started in his last four games. We started seeing progression from Justin Fields. In his first four games, he only averaged 9.3 points per game. Okay. The last four games he started, he averaged 23.2. Like, I didn't realize this until I started going into Justin Fields because of his mobility that he actually started being he was a lot better. He averaged 64, and I apologize, I over-exaggerated. I said 70. He averaged 64 rushing yards per game in those starts, okay? He averaged 8.5 carries in those games, but he also had averaged 15 passing yards per game. So 15 passing yards per game on top of another 8 rushing yards, that is top 10 QB numbers last season. So we saw that already. But this is the little feather in the cap. Luke Getsy, longtime Packers, even before Kevin Stefanski. He actually got his start with Mike McCarthy. When their transition, the last season, Mike McCarthy, before he left to go to the Pack, got fired from the Packers, Luke Getsy became the OC at Mississippi State. That season, his best rusher was his quarterback, this kid named Nick Fitzgerald. He led the team in carries, yards, and touchdowns. 221 carries, 1,100 yards, 13 touchdowns on the ground. So Luke Getsy went to college for one season, had a mobile quarterback, featured that mobile quarterback on the ground, and now he has another mobile quarterback, Justin Fields. So I think that he's going to realize the way that they're going to move the football is allowing Justin Fields to run, and that's why I like Justin Fields as a QB1 this season.
I love it, man. You and your college coaching tree nuggets are like, this is no bullshit. Best in the industry,
yes.
Hands down. I'm not everybody. All the way up to the top. Best in the industry, dude. You breaking down coaching trees. I always learn a nugget from you, and we do these shows every day. I love it so much. Well done. Justin Fields, man, big time. And look, similar to Davis Mills, right? Not a lot of weapons last year. Doesn't have a ton again this year, but big second-year leap, obviously. And, of course, now hopefully another big leap from Mooney and the crew as well. All right, let's go to another mobile quarterback. I'm going to go with my boy Marcus Mariota. Right, finishes as a top 15 quarterback overall in fantasy. and top 12 quarterback per game. Again, Bob, offended. Number two, Razzball Drafters, no ADP. Appreciate it, folks. Two shots to the heart, and we're only getting 10 minutes into the show here. Thanks. Good start on a Sunday. Mariota played under Arthur Smith, as we know, in Tennessee. Bob, say it for me. Continuity. Thank you very much. We talk about it all the time. It's so important that we have these relationships pre-built in the NFL, especially quarterback to coaching trees. So Arthur Smith and Mariota already know each other. In his first seven games with the Tennessee Titans as a rookie under Arthur Smith, this is back in 2016, but as a rookie, he threw seven touchdowns before he threw his first interception. And he was playing very well, both on the ground and through the air, with no weapons outside of Corey Davis and Rashard Matthews, basically, before getting hurt. In 2016, that was his second season. Sorry, 2015 was a rookie season. 2016, second season, Mariota was QB9 overall, and he only played 15 out of the 16 games. He rushed for 300-plus yards in three seasons and was on pace for 300-plus yards in the other two that were cut short by injury during his time in Tennessee. Atlanta ranked 28th by PFF in O-line grades so far coming into the season. Obviously, that's terrible. He might get sacked a million times. But because he's so mobile, I think that actually might be a plus for Mariota a little bit, because it's going to get him out of the pocket. We know that he basically didn't take a snap under center at Oregon because they run that spread offense back in the day. So he's very comfortable with the shotgun, very comfortable throwing on the run and scrambling, option routes, things like that, RPOs. He's going to do very well. I think that's good for fantasy that he'll run more. And he has four of his pass catchers are at least 6'3". That's the biggest crew of pass catchers, tallest in the NFL. Pitts, Patterson, Drake, and my boy Brian Edwards that everyone forgot about, but I expect a big bounce back from him as well. So Mariota has weapons. The Falcons are in a bad division. They're going to be somewhat competitive games with everybody except for the Buccaneers. They're going to be behind in a lot of games. I don't trust their run game. They're going to be throwing a lot as long as they can. The only knock on Mariota, of course, is that if he gets hurt or if there's, you know, many inconsistencies, then Desmond Ridder is right behind him, and I'm sure they'll throw him in. But PFF ranked all of the quarterbacks through the preseason, and obviously many of the top-notch starters didn't even play. But of the quarterbacks that did play, Marcus Mariota was the number one graded quarterback in all of preseason by Pro Football Focus. I know it's been tough for 5-10 years of his career. Trust me, I'm his biggest fan. I think he bounces back big time, and he has top 12 upside.
I like Mariota too. He's actually my number two QB guy. Like, I love Fields, and then it's Mariota. I think that Kyle Pitts and Drake London are a solid duo for him. But I just think that this is another team where they know they're going to, if they want to be competitive and run the football, be competitive football games, they're going to have to run the football with their quarterback, and I think they will. Let's come down to my next one. It's Michael Carter outscores Breece Hall in PPR.
People don't want to hear that, Bo. People do not want to hear this one.
They don't, and neither did I. I didn't either. I was. I actually had Breece Hall in my top 24 heading into like the early part of August, and I just started realizing that, you know what? There hasn't been a lot of scenarios where a good young running back has then the next season they have redrafted another stud running back on the roster, and we don't know what to do with this situation. We honestly don't. There's not a lot of precedent when you have a talented young running back who has produced when healthy and get on the field like Michael Carter, then the next season they bring in a stud. But here's some notes. Michael Floor, the OC, has been a part of the Shanahan tree for many years. Back in 2015, they were the Atlanta Falcons. They, in the third round, drafted Tevin Coleman. In fantasy football drafts, Tevin Coleman was going in the early rounds. You know, there was a man named Devonta Freeman that season, not even being drafted. Who was the RB1 in fantasy that season? Devonta Freeman. So my point is that this coaching staff, Mike LaFleur, has noticed that, hey, yeah, you did draft the guy in day two, but you know what? This guy's just flat out better right now, and they leaned on him. So I think that from that standpoint, we've seen it with the coaching staffs. Also with other running backs. Last season, I know everyone loves Javonte Williams, but on a per-game basis, in 16 of 17 weeks, essentially, Melvin Gordon was better on the field than Javonte, and he was the veteran guy, and the coaching staff trusted him. And listen, Javonte's stats look closer to Melvin Gordon, but you have to factor in the one game Melvin Gordon missed. Javonte went off for 26 points. If you just take out that game, it was clearly Melvin Gordon. So there has been plenty of pressing where the veteran is leaning. And I talked about this stat previously, but look at Michael Carter's stats last year. In the games where he played 70% of snaps, he averaged 18.5 half PPR points per game. That would have been RB4 that last season. In games where he was 50% of snaps, he averaged 12 points per game, which is RB23. I personally think you have a very good shot at him playing 50% of snaps on average. You're probably going to get an RB2 even if he splits time with Breece Hall. And I think because of that, Michael Carter, especially early on in PPR, is going to get the leg up and finish outscore Breece Hall.
Do you think your boy Flacco being in there for Zach Wilson for the first half of the season, honestly, do you think that helps the run game in general?
Comeback player of the year. Just let's go. Let's just fucking do it.
Because he's able to because Flacco's able to bring back the safeties. Because look, Flacco's Flacco. We've been joking about him for years, but he's still got a cannon at least.
So the thing with Flacco, I got to tell you, when is the last time Flacco had this level of talent around him?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like it's like in 2019, I think the year he was 2019 or 18 when he was with the Broncos, they had Sutton. Sutton was okay with him. But outside of Sutton, they had a young Tim Patrick and they had nothing else. So I think we haven't seen Flacco with the receiving trio of those guys at the Jets. You know, Tyler Conklin and CJ Uzama, serviceable tight ends. And then you have Michael Carter and Breece Hall in the backfield. I think the only problem with the whole anything, I just did in a vacuum. I think the problem is Zach Wilson will be the starter by, you know, week 4, most likely. I think Flacco does infuse some upside for this offense.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, I like that. Well, you had mentioned Tevin Coleman in Atlanta. Let's talk about another running back here. Man, another rookie that came on the scene and absolutely crushed it was Kareem Hunt back with the Chiefs back in the day. My next bold prediction here is Kareem Hunt is not only traded, but he's traded to the Falcons, who need a running back badly. No shot to Tyler Algier, of course, and non-running back Cordarrelle Patterson. But Kareem Hunt goes to the Falcons. From that day that he steps into Atlanta, he's a running back 6 at least in points per game in fantasy football. He does have an ADP, Bob, which is great to see. RB32 right now, ADP. Of course, it's because he's the backup, well, 1B, if you will, to Nick Chubb. But 91 overall, getting drafted in the 7th round. I'm in 7 leagues. I have 3 drafts left. I've had 4 drafts. I have Kareem Hunt on every team, and I will make sure to have Kareem Hunt on the other 3 that I draft in here, because not only have we seen Kareem Hunt as a sidekick backup, if you want to call him that, with, you know, half of the workload, still be a top 10 option in fantasy football, but the couple of games that Nick Chubb has been out the last few years, and of course his time in Kansas City for that year with Alex Smith, not Patrick Mahomes, he was absolutely electric. So we know it's been there. He's been rumored to be traded anyway in the offseason from Cleveland. Atlanta needs a running back badly. They have not addressed that situation necessarily, so I think that that's a good fit off the bat. He's a very good fantasy football player when healthy. 2017 led the NFL in rushing, RB4 as a rookie. 2018, RB11 in just 11 games. 2019, only played 8 games, so we'll throw that out. 2020, RB8, sharing the backfield with Nick Chubb. Last year, RB9 before getting hurt in week 9. He's been top 10 when he's been healthy. Scored double-digit touchdowns in each season. He's played at least 9 games, and he's 6th in yards after contact and yards per route run. He's a great pass catcher, obviously, out of the backfield. Kareem Hunt, so this is like a triple bold prediction. A, Kareem Hunt gets traded. B, he gets traded to Atlanta specifically. C, when he becomes a Falcon, he is an RB6 or better. You're getting him in the 7th round. Now, there's a lot of guessing here, Bob, but even as a quote-unquote backup to Nick Chubb and a number 2, you're getting one of arguably the highest level handcuff. We all talk about A.J. Dillon and Tony Pollard and Alexander Mattison, rightfully so. Kareem Hunt's on that list, and not a lot of people talk about him. Even more so without Deshaun Watson in the picture right now. Jacoby Brissett isn't the big, you know, dump-down guy per se, but Stefanski is. I think that's going to happen. I love me some Kareem Hunt, and he's basically free with the idea that he could be a top 5 option down the stretch in the second half.
Kareem Hunt is going outside the top 30 running backs typically, and you're getting him at the 7-8 turn. Like every year before this one, he was going in like the 4th, 5th turn. and you had to take him as a top 24 back. I think that's the key here. And then if this scenario happens, mine on. But my honorable mention, bold take, was that Cordell Patterson finishes an RB1. Just wanted to say that.
Okay, honorable mention, though. Falcons running back is going to be dominant. Is it going to be Patterson, Algier, or maybe it's Hunt? Either way, I'm taking the chance on that.
Jumping down in the next one here, it's Devin Singletary finishes a top 12 running back. Singletary, I think the biggest thing last year was I actually want to update this tag banner to say he's this year's Leonard Fournette. Now, last year we had playoff Lenny.
He's like a foot shorter.
I know, but it doesn't matter. Don't care. He's also got Josh Allen, and he's also got the Bills offense. And listen, this is the change. I brought this up previously. There was on the preseason game, they talked about how the Bills adjusted their run game, how they ran the football, whatever you want to call it, the scheme, halfway through the season. There was another big thing that happened too. Okay. Over the last 7 weeks of the year, they started allowing Devin Singletary to be the primary running back. So in the games last season, when he played 66% of the snaps, he averaged 16.8 PPR points per game, would have been RB10 last year. Okay. Why is that important? Over the last 7 games, he played over 66% of the snaps, including the playoffs, in every single game. In those games, he averaged 19.7 PPR points per game. That would have been RB4 last year, and almost a full point ahead of Leonard Fournette, who was RB4 last year. So he was not only just better than most running backs, he was almost an elite back, getting close to Austin Eckler. But here's the other thing about this whole situation. Now, when I'm looking at his ADP right now, RB30, he's an ambiguous backfield. He's one of the guys we talked about in our show of how to avoid drafting a bust, and also the guys that you should get value from. So all that factored in, I also just get the feels that this is what happened with Leonard Fournette. Over the second half of 2 years ago into the playoffs, they leaned on Fournette. Fournette showed that he could dominate. But then everyone's like, well, there's Ronald Jones. They got Gio Bernard. And no one wanted to draft Leonard Fournette in the first 6-7 rounds of drafts. But he's tied to an elite offense in an ambiguous backfield. And he showed down the stretch last year that he was dominant. Doesn't that sound like someone else? Devin Singletary. Draft him in all your leagues. You can get him easily. Right now, ADP, RB30. You can get him in the 7th round every single time.
I like it a lot. I like Devin Singletary. I know that, you know, James Cook's getting a lot of hype, obviously, as a rookie as well. Zach Moss has dusted himself off a little bit in the preseason. Also, I just am worried, you know, Brian Daboll now with your boys in New York. I just don't know what this offense is going to look like. And again, when you think goal line back, it's Josh Allen. So I like Singletary and what he did. I liked him as a prospect. But again, I'm a little bit hesitant. But for anybody that goes – hero RB, as they say, one running back early, wide receivers later, or you go zero RB, Devin Singletary, Kareem Hunt, Michael Carter, these kind of guys are perfect targets for you in those middle rounds, who could be very high upside options. All right, let's move on here. Got to talk about one of my Chargers, of course, Mike Williams. I've been a fan since Clemson. I've been repping this guy for a million years. He's had super upsides, super low sides. He's burned me in more leagues than not because I draft him every year. And I've been burned pretty much every time except for his rookie season in this one. But big time things coming for Mike Williams this year. Bold prediction, Mike Williams finishes top 5 among fantasy wide receivers. Wide receiver 15 right now in ADP. 15. I've got him ranked wide receiver 6. Just to let you know how excited I am about him. 42 overall. You can get him in like the mid third round. Right basically behind Keenan Allen right now. I will take Mike Williams. I don't have to take him ahead of Keenan Allen. I just take him after Keenan Allen, but instead of Keenan Allen. And I do also love Keenan Allen. Wide receiver 1 overall last year in the first 5 weeks in half PPR. I threw that half PPR in there just for you, Bob. Wide receiver 1 overall in the first 5 weeks in half PPR last year before the injury. He set career highs across the board. He had 9 touchdowns. His career high is 11, but he's going to probably have 17 this year, so I'm not worried about it. He has 11.5% touchdown per target rate in his career. That's insane. For every 11, essentially, targets, 16.1 yards per reception. That's big play upside, obviously. When you think big plays, you think Justin Herbert and the Chargers offense. The Chargers threw for the third most pass attempts last year, one behind Kansas City and like 80 behind Tom Brady, but the Bucs are way ahead of everybody with 700 plus. But they were one pass behind the Chiefs. They would have been number 2 in the entire league in pass attempts. And my boy, Jay Herbs, could very well throw for 50 touchdowns. I don't think that's hyperbole. I almost made it a bold prediction, but I think it just straight up is going to happen. So I didn't put it on the list. If that happens, let's give Keenan Allen his annual 6 to 8 touchdowns. Let's give Austin Eckler 4 to 6 receiving touchdowns. Gerald Everett, my boy, love him at late round tight end, 6 touchdowns. We'll get excited about him. And then all the other wide receivers, right, Guyton and Palmer and everybody else, we'll give them like 10 to 12 total for the Chargers. That still leaves 15 to 20 if Herbert actually throws for 50 touchdowns. If so, what if Mike Williams goes Devontae Adams on us, has like 17 touchdowns? I'm not joking. I would be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked. I think it could happen. You're not getting him as a top 5 wide receiver, but he could be top 5 or first overall if he gets those Devontae touchdowns. He just won't have Devontae receptions, so he's going to have 12, 1300 yards, but 15 plus touchdowns could absolutely make him top 5. If he stays healthy, I think it'll happen.
I just talked about the Mikes. My favorite third round picks this season, Mike Williams, Mike Evans, Michael Pittman. Those are my guys this year, so I absolutely love this. But Sky, we're a little longer than 25 minutes here. Let's get through these next ones pretty quickly. My next one is Adam Thielen finishes as a wide receiver 1. Love Here's it. A fun fact about Adam Thielen. Last season, weeks 1 through 12, not weeks 1 through 5, not weeks 1 through 4, weeks 1 through 12 was the wide receiver 7, averaging 17.4 PBR points per game. Then he got hurt, played 8% of snaps, missed the game, tried to come back, got hurt again, and ended the season. This guy, weeks 1 through 12, just last year, was averaging 17.4. It was the wide receiver 7. He's going wide receiver 32 in the 6th, 7th round every single time. I have Adam Thielen on every team so far. Trust me, if we're excited about Kevin O'Connell, the new offensive scheme, and I hate to say it, somebody who could be featured in the red zone is a guy who dominates in the red zone is Adam Thielen, not Justin Jefferson. Adam Thielen's the one who's been dominant in the red zone for the last few years with Kirk Cousins. He sounds perfect for the way that Matthew Stafford used Cooper Kupp in the red zone. I love Justin Jefferson too, but I think Adam Thielen is going underdrafted.
100% agree on this, dude. 100%. Adam Thielen's been a wide receiver 1 when healthy. He got burnt last year. He's not too old. Kirk Cousins loves him in the red zone. Count it. Bob, this one's for you, my man. I had to give a shout out to our boy, Alan Lazard. I'll let you throw in your Lazard nuggets here in a second. Alan Lazard finishes top 12 as well. Adam Thielen, Alan Lazard, Mike Williams, ring me up. Wide receiver 39 right now for Lazard. 90 overall. You're getting him in the mid-7th round. Number 1 wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers. What are we doing, folks? Devontae Adams is a Raider. Easy. Since he broke in 2016, Adams has had double-digit touchdowns every single season except for 1 when he got injured. He had the 5 a couple years ago, which was just weird. He has 30 touchdowns total over the last year. 30 touchdowns, 18 and 12 in the last 2 years. Aaron Rodgers has been talking up Alan Lazard for years. He trusts Lazard. We know how weird Aaron Rodgers is about rookies and young guys and mistakes. He's already called out the rookies this year already. Christian Watson, Romeo Dubs, they've been doing okay, but they're not there yet. Randall Cobb is a shadow of himself. The only competition for Lazard is an old Randall Cobb. Two rookies that Aaron Rodgers has not quite put in the circle of trust yet. That's Alan Lazard. And the Packers are annually 3rd to 5th in the NFL in passing inside the 5-yard line. You just talked about Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen in the red zone. Love me some Packers wide receivers. How many times have you had Aaron Jones on your fantasy team? The Packers are on the 1-yard line, and you're like, free money, baby. And what is it? It's a slant to Devontae Adams every single time. That could be Alan Lazard this year. 2021, they were tied for 3rd with 13 passing touchdowns compared to 9 rushing touchdowns inside the 5-yard line. A.J. Dillon might change that a little bit, but Alan Lazard is a sneak attack for 12-plus touchdowns. Also, again, you're getting him for quote-unquote free with Adam Thielen as your wide receiver, 3 or 4? It's insane. Thielen's on all of your teams. Lazard's on all of mine.
Love it. Yeah, man. Honestly, he was my must-have wide receiver on an episode we just did. We talked about him deeply. He had 8 touchdowns on just 60 targets last year.
It's going to be nuts.
It's going to be – I think the other thing about him is that even at early career, Devontae Adams, he had like that 900-yard receiving season, but he had 12 touchdowns. It's a very realistic stat line. But the other thing with Lazard, number one, he was a 5-star recruit coming out of high school, was very good. Went to Iowa State just because his dad went there, and he went undrafted. I'm just telling you now, that's the history behind it. He goes undrafted, signs with the Packers practice squad in 2018. In 2019, he – gets cut at the end of the year, but then re-signs with the practice squad. He gets his first career playing time when Davante Adams, of all people, gets hurt. He averages over 40 yards in every single game as a newcomer in 2019. He actually scores a touchdown in his first game in that one. In 2020, in his lone game, Davante Adams goes 6-140-1. Then he gets hurt, unfortunately. Adams comes back. He takes a back seat. And then last year, we saw this when he didn't have MVS and Randall Cobb. They gave him a bigger role. He averaged over 13 points per game in PPR. So he already showed us he could do more with more and doesn't get much bigger than without Davante Adams. All right, my last one is Austin Hooper is a tight end.
Austin Hooper?
I know. Austin Hooper finishes as a top 12 tight end. Sorry, I somehow, for some reason, had the A and the S separated. As a top 12 tight end. Anyway, so here's why. So first of all, last year, this offense, really, when you're talking about the Arthur Smith getting, and then Todd Downing taking over, guess what they both were? Tight ends coaches. This offense, by the way, when I'm looking at this from this whole situation, has been featuring the tight end for years. Jonnu Smith in 2020 was a tight end one on this offense. Last year, with the dumpster fire that was their tight ends, Anthony Firkser, Jeff Swain, Michael Pruitt, those guys averaging 20% target share of this offense. Those guys, okay? And then on top of that, they were 12th in the NFL amongst teams in targets per route run at the position, okay? So the tight ends that I just listed were 12th in the NFL in targets per route run. Now you give them a legit starter, a guy who in Austin Hooper, who was a tight end one in with the Falcons. I know he kind of lost in the shuffle with the Browns, but this is the other thing. Robert Woods coming off a serious injury at age 30. I do think he's going to start off slow. Traylon Burks, stud rookie wide receiver, hasn't cracked the starting lineup yet. I just think that he's going to be your consistent, you know, 4 to 5 catches in that 40 to 50 yard range every single week. He'll keep you afloat early on in the season. And I actually think that he might actually be finishing as a top 12, a low end tight end one this season, because it's very easy once you get beyond those first 8 or 9. All right, that's all. Go ahead. What are you giving me your thoughts about Austin before we close the show?
I was kind of giving you just a quick jab before the show, because like Austin Hooper was very exciting. Two big plays in the Atlanta. I got him paid in Cleveland. I get it. Didn't do much in Cleveland with Baker, who loves his tight end. But thankfully, he goes to a team with one wide receiver and a running back. So hopefully, he'll be just fine. Before we get out of here, Bob, I just want to give a quick shout out to everybody who's been following the channel all summer long. This is, you know, you have been kind of migrating over from our previous show, taking the reins. You've done such a great job hosting this program. New people coming up, great articles on football.rasball.com. But all the episodes, all the new listeners, shout out to a new listener and podcast subscriber, our boy Griff Fish, everybody else who has come in and helped us support this program, getting ready for another football season and fantasy football. I just want to say I appreciate everybody doing it. We're all working behind the scenes. And make sure you give our man, Bob LaMarco here, Bobby LaMarco on Twitter, a big shout out, a follow, and a subscribe on Twitter and YouTube and the podcast as well, because this man poured his heart into it, and we're crushing. We're ready to go. But, Bob, like I said, couple days away, buddy. All the work comes to fruition. We get to watch the football, bro. It's been a pleasure, and I'm stoked for the season.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. It's a way to get a little pat on the back to start the season. Feels good, honestly. Honestly, but it just started. I'll tell you right now, we are very honestly, like, dedicated. We're in it, man. We're going to be here all summer long. We're going to have the Sunday Live Start Sit show that's going to be live for you multiple hours before kickoff. Me and Sky and our team will be there for you. Answer your Start Sit questions. We have a great slew of shows and all the articles on Razzball.com. So make sure you're going to follow us on Razzball Fantasy on YouTube. Make sure you hop over to IG and TikTok at Razzball Fantasy. And of course, make sure you go to Razzball.com to check out all the great articles we have over there as well. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. You can follow me at Bobby LaMarco on Twitter. Thank you once again to my co-host today, Sky Gawasco. Go follow him on Twitter as well, at Sky Gawasco. We are out of here.